going to go to, I don't, Matthew 16. Usually I remember the first scripture, but I totally forgot today where we're going to go. Haven't forgotten what we're going to look at, but Matthew 16. I want to look at the topic of just one thought away. And I hope that'll make sense to you as we go. But in Matthew 16, verse 21, we read, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Jesus Christ reproved him. Thou savorest means you're not thinking. Think the thoughts you're thinking are not the things that be of God. So because Peter was thinking the wrong thoughts, right, that ended up in his worship being wrong, right? And his heart was wrong. Things were not correct in his life. What's pretty clear from this record is that what you think about is vital to your life. Right? It is more important for your life than you might realize, right? What you think about. Most people, you know, and it's true for us too, many times, we don't really think about what we're thinking about. Right? We just, many times, men and just let their mind go where it wants to go without telling it where they want it to go. Right? This case here, Peter, Jesus said to him, "You're not thinking the right things." Right? And as a result, who was he worshiping? The devil. He said, he called him Satan. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because Peter, you're not thinking the right thoughts. Right? So how important is it, do you think, for us to make sure the things that we think about are the right things? In Mark chapter 9. This is a very really interesting record. We'll read a bit of it, but before we talk about it. But 9:14, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question you with them? And one of the multitude answered, said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and fell on the ground, and wallowed foaming." So this spirit took charge, you know, possessed the boy as usual, and caused him to do these weird, distasteful things. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So this has happened many times in the child's life, you know, from who knows exactly how old he was to now where he was at now, in a pretty desperate situation. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. So it's a pretty serious possession here. Devil spirit trying to kill this boy, whether it's in the water or fire, to drown him or kill him. And it said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Right, so he asked Jesus if he can do anything. And Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the interesting thing in this record that I was thinking about is that many times when you face a situation in life, and you need an answer or a deliverance, you might think that, well, I might have to spend the next 6-7 weeks thinking about this and studying this and doing this, or you know, I might have to become a more holy person, or you know, become, you know, put away this bad habit. You might go down that road of thinking, if I want an answer, I have to clean up my life or do something, right? And it's not that at all. And sure, if that kind of stuff helps a person to believe God, do what you got to do. But in this situation here, pretty desperate situation, this man's child was possessed, and he asked Jesus if he can help us, and Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Right? And straight away, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Right? Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. Right. Now, this record here should, you know, to me, and I was thinking about this record, I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty interesting. This man, all this time in his life, had this problem with this child. Right. So, and he comes to Jesus Christ. Jesus said to him, if you can believe. So what did the man do? What did the man do? Did he go back home and spend 6 months in earnest prayer? Did he fast for 7 weeks? Did he give up, you know, drinking or give up smoking? Right? What did he do? He changed his mind. That's all he did. Right? He changed what he was thinking. Is there anything else he did? Right. No. He changed his mind. How often in life do you think your deliverance from something is just one correct thought away from what you need? Right. I mean, you know, religion will teach you, well, you know, if you, you know, give some penance for a while, if you give more money to the church, you know, if you come regularly to catechism, if you... all these works that religion might get you to do. And all Jesus Christ asked him to do was, look, change your thinking, right? If you can believe, because he said to Jesus, if you can help me, help me. And Jesus was quite clear. He knew that he could help him, right? All he had to do was, look, change your thinking. So do you think that it might be important for me and you to think the correct things, right? I think so. What happened? The boy was delivered. The spirit came out and he was healed, and he hadn't been healed all those years, and it just took an instant. You know, I don't know what Jesus Christ taught him. Maybe he taught him a few things. That's fine. He might have taught him a bit of the word. But what did the man have to, the man had to just say, yeah, I believe that's true. He changed his thinking. Result, deliverance. In Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. How about that? As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. It says to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? How do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? What does that mean, to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we all know that when you make Jesus your Lord, you receive Holy Spirit. So you've got Holy Spirit. We have eternal life. We're going to heaven. Nothing can stop that. So what does it mean? What is he saying here? He says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's talking about putting on where? In your mind, right? In your mind, what kind of mind did Jesus Christ have, right? When it says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's talking about all that it means to the believer and all that Jesus Christ has accomplished. But, you know, think about the mind of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ fed the 5,000, or more, it wasn't quite, it was more than 5,000, we know that, right? What did he say? He said to Philip, what can we do here? Right? And it says in the Bible, he himself knew what he was going to do, right? He knew what was going to happen. So where was his mind? His mind was already on God's ability to provide the food for those 5,000. That's the kind of mind he had, right? Lazarus, right? Remember when Lazarus was dead? It says in the word, why did he pray, right? Because for the sake of the people. Because he said, I know you hear me. So that might be an interesting aspect of the mind of Jesus Christ to put on, knowing that God always hears your prayers. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I know you always hear me. Right? Might be something we want to put on our minds. When we pray, God always hears us. Right? Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? When he was 12 years old, right? Remember he stayed behind in the temple? What did he say? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? You see, his mind was always on God and the things of God, right? You see it time and time again when you read the Gospels and when Jesus, his mind was always on God and the things of God, right? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ up here and all that he's accomplished. And also, his example of how he lived and how he always taught God's word constantly, right? I do always those things that please him. That's what he said. You know, when he was dying, he said, I am not alone, the Father is with me. Where was his mind at, right? You know, I asked myself, is that where my mind's at all the time? Is that what I think about when I'm in a situation? You know, going back to what a single correct thought can do in bringing deliverance, bringing God's deliverance to bear in a situation, right? Just knowing the right thing to think, right? In Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verse 36. It says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. Right? A huge storm, and Jesus Christ is asleep. Okay. On a pillow. And they woke him, and say unto him, Master, Master, carest thou now that we're going to perish? We're going to perish! And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How come you don't believe? You see where his mind was at? See, it's quite often in life where people, when things happen, and things happen a lot in life, as we know, good things, bad things, things come our way all the time, right? That's just the way life is. Well, that was just the way life was to Jesus Christ too. Yet, he kept his mind on God, right? He didn't see the storm. I mean, he saw the storm visually, but he didn't see the storm the way they saw the storm, right? He said, how is it that you're so fearful? So put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at the kind of mind that he had, right? Why are you so fearful? He said, why don't you believe? As opposed to man, who has a tendency to say, wow, look how strong that wave is. Boy, isn't that a really strong wind. The thunder, it's scaring me. We tend to look, a lot of times, man looks at the circumstance of life. Where Jesus Christ had his mind on, I know how we're going to feed them. I know you always hear me. Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? I know you never leave me, right? So you see where his mind, that's where his mind was at. Those are the thoughts that he thought, right? In Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. as we'll read verse 6 while we're here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, when I was reading, when I was looking into the Word on this topic, it amazed me how much of the New Testament, specifically the seven church epistles, talks about what you and I ought to think. Right? Talks about what you and I should do with our minds. Right? We're going to see a few of the words, but there are so many words that kept coming up, you know, time and time again that talk about what you ought to think, what we ought to think, right? In Philippians 4:6 again, verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, honest, true, just, pure, lovely, good report. That's what God wants you and I to think. Right? Jesus told us that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When what you count to be most important to you are the things you always think about and the things you talk about, right? That's a good judgment for us to see what we're thinking about. There was a man back in the 1800s, I guess. I haven't read the book, but he John G. Lake, and what he did was he set up what they call healing rooms, right? And I think Daddy read that book, but he set up healing rooms, but the main idea, and it's a really, really complicated concept here, okay? Follow this, if you can follow this, right? It's complicated. He would isolate a person in a room and only make sure they heard God's word, right? That's complicated, right? And that would eventually lead to deliverance, right? That's powerful, isn't it? Think about that for a minute. So if I have a need, right? And I know that I can get the deliverance by just thinking God's word and hearing God's word and thinking God's word and just immersing myself in the word of God, right? Is that complicated? Do I need to do penance? Do I need to do works? You know, it's a matter of accepting what God has done for us. It's very simple. I remember, you know, a man said to us many years ago, I said, you know, if you would just put away your reading material for 3 months, right, and read nothing but the Word of God, you know, you won't recognize yourself 3 months from now. Right? 3 months. That was a challenge that was laid up for us. Don't do anything else. Don't listen to the news. Don't watch TV. Don't do anything. Just read God's Word for 3 months. You won't recognize yourself. I think when the man made that suggestion, he wasn't saying that after 3 months you stop, right? That wasn't the point of the exercise, right? Because if after 3 months I don't recognize myself, then maybe it's a good idea to continue that habit and to take in more of what God's Word says and the things of God than the things the world might have to say. You know, this becomes very, very more, and not that it's not important, wasn't important 100 years ago, but it's even more vital today because the battle for your mind is very heated right now, right? It's an extremely heated battle right now, right? Can you go any place today where there isn't a TV monitor, right? Not just one, multiple TV monitors, right? You know, constant tweeting, you know, chatting, right? Internet access, TVs, right? All designed for what purpose, right? You know, and again, you know, a lot of it's advertising. They're trying to get you to buy products and all that. I realize that. But in the end, the basic thought behind it is that what's put in front of you, right, more consistently is what you'll start thinking. that's just how the mind works. That's how God made the mind. Why do you think the healing rooms worked? Why do you think God says in Deuteronomy, when you're sitting with your kids in bed, when you get up in the morning, when you're walking about, when you go outside, speak my word to them. Tell them about my commandments. Write them over here. Put them over there. Talk about... Why do you think God said that? If things haven't changed, the advertisers have copped on pretty fast. So has the devil, right? He knows exactly how to change the mind of a man. Just feed it, just feed it, just feed it, just feed it, and eventually you start thinking that way. That's how it works. Right? That should be a pretty much of a frightening wake-up call to most of us. Right? If I want to think a certain way, I can think that way based on what I constantly feed my mind. Right? And that's it. Deliverance is a thought away. Right? It's just a single thought away. Think the right thing and you will get the right result. Right? Not complicated, right? You know, sometimes you're typing on a computer and the computer auto-completes the wrong word, right? And I think about it. I mean, I know auto-completion is very handy, but I've read, you know, emails or whatever where you know that the person didn't intend on using that word, but the auto-complete put the wrong word in, right? But they didn't bother checking, right? You see how... the devil, I'm not saying auto-completion is evil. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the adversary is very willing to think for you, right? And to stop you from thinking yourself, right? And anything that stops me from thinking what I want to think, I will personally dispense with immediately, right? Because I want to think the thoughts that I want to think. Right? And that's you know, when Jesus Christ said to him, if you can believe, what do you think he was saying to the man? Look, what you're thinking is wrong. When he confronted Peter, he said, what you're thinking is wrong. When he was in the boat, he goes, look, what's wrong? He goes, why are you so afraid? Where does fear come from? Thinking. Have you ever had a situation, Alash, you know, have you ever been just sitting in a room and you're perfectly happy? Everything's fine, wonderfully peaceful, and then you think a thought that completely changes the way you're feeling. You ever do that? What has changed in your circumstances? Absolutely nothing. And yet, the way you're feeling now is different. Powerful, isn't it? So then you just back up and say, wait a minute. That's where God's word comes in. As soon as you recognize those thoughts, you get rid of them, and you bring your mind to where you want it to be, and you won't feel badly. You know, I tell the kids all the time, don't watch scary movies. Not that they do, but if you watch a scary movie, then you got to deal with that picture for the rest of your life, right? You know, God can deliver you and make you forget. Yeah, absolutely. Always available. But why make your mind deal with that when you know it's not going to bring you any profit, right? It's, you know, all these questions, you know, that I ask. You know, and I personally, when I see all this stuff, sometimes I just want to scream, let me think myself, please. Stop the autocomplete. Stop the tweets. Stop the chats. Let me think. You know what? Most people today, especially young people, have a real problem with being quiet. Right? It's becoming more difficult for children to be quiet about something. Just to take quiet, be quiet. You know. And, you know, we've learned about revelation in fellowship a lot of times over the years. You know, still small voice, the quietness. Right. What do you think the adversary is trying to do? Right. What do you think he's trying to jam? What signals do you think, spiritually speaking, he wants to jam in our lives, right? Right. So whatever is in the way of that, I personally, to myself, say, get rid of it, Raj. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, how do you think the devil blinds a person's mind? You ever think of that? The adversary has blinded the minds. So, what, did he put a cloak over your eyes? Or how do you blind somebody's mind, right? How does that actually happen, that a person's mind becomes blinded? Think about it. What do you think? Thoughts. How do you blind someone's mind? There's no drug. There's no, you don't beat them over the head with a hammer or something. You just make them think the thoughts that you want them to think. That's how a mind becomes blinded. Right? Remember all those, what's that kidnapping thing, you know, where a guy goes and comes out, what, there's a word for that, where he comes out sympathizing with the kidnappers, right?
There's a,
what's it called?
I think it's Helsinki syndrome.
Yeah, Helsinki, I think that's what it's called, yeah. Where, and all it is they just heard the message enough, right? And they come out sympathizing with the kidnappers. Well, the adversary knows that Helsinki syndrome, right? Lucifer syndrome. You know, where you just feed the right thoughts, or the wrong thoughts, or the your choice. Wrong, and you start thinking wrongly. Right, start thinking rightly. It's not complicated, right? The healing rooms concept that John G. Lake had wasn't complicated, right? Very simple. I think the way we had expressed to us was you just let in the right amount of light, right? If you want to get the result in something, if the need is more pressing, you need more light immediately. Just like a camera, right? If you want to expose over a long period of time, a little bit of light in for a long period of time, if you had an immediate need, lots of light, and the light is the Word of God. Letting it in to get the result you want. We'll close in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I was saying, you know, all the words that kept coming up time and time again in the New Testament. This section here really shows a lot of them. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice, have confidence. Where do those things take place? Where do you rejoice? Where do you have confidence? What you think, right? If I have confidence in somebody, it's the way that I'm thinking about that person. If I have confidence in God, it's the way that I think about God. If I'm rejoicing in God, it's the way that I'm thinking about Him. It's not that I'm going around blowing, you know, those things you have party things, you know. Woo! That's not what rejoicing's talking about. Right? It's what am I thinking about? What's in here, right? Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man, other man, think that he hath confidence, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. He talks about his credentials. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, of the Hebrew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and so forth. Lists all these things. So if he was having confidence in those things, then he was thinking about those things. Yes? You know, that's why how it works, right? Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Where do you count things loss? Up here. Right. You don't take a letter and sign away, hereby sign away all things that are my, you know, it's not how it works. You count them loss. He said up here, he goes, you know what? Those things are not as important as what I am to be in Jesus Christ. And he made that decision up here. Those are thoughts he made himself think. Right? That's what it says. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge, there's these key words that keep coming up, right? That they're all related to thinking. Knowledge of Jesus Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them, thoughts, but dung, that I may win Christ. Where do you win Christ? You see, these words may not immediately appear to you as being thoughts, but if you really think about it, what are they? It's what you're thinking, right? And be found in Him. How do you be found in somebody? Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by believing. How do you believe? You think God's word, sinks to your heart, out comes believing. That I may know Him, I'm purposely emphasizing the words that are related to thinking, that I may know Him, where you know somebody, right? And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend. Where do you apprehend? That for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He goes, I don't always think everything correctly, but the one thing I do, forgetting, where do you forget? those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus, what? Minded. Think these things. And God says, if you have, and any other, you'd be otherwise minded, if you have the reason to think about anything else, right? If you have the need or to understand something else, God will even reveal that unto you, right? You see, the thinking the correct thoughts will lead to answers in every area. Thinking the wrong thoughts won't at all, right? So what you know, so you see how in the one, you read the entire New Testament, in seven church epistles, the first command given to the believer in Romans is what? Reckon the old man dead, right? Where do you reckon that? It's up here. It's thinking, thinking, thinking. What do you think about, right? Deliverance for you and me is a thought away. Just make sure that we do our utmost to think the right thoughts. And whatever things that stop you or stop me from thinking the wrong, right thoughts, get rid of it. Stop that habit and replace it by one that allows us to think the right thoughts. You know, I'm not saying technology is evil, like I said, but whatever it is that stops me, you know, to think these thoughts, I must dispense with. Right? I don't have to. I should say I should dispense with. Right? It's up to me. See, if I want deliverance and I haven't seen deliverance in an area and I know how to get it, right, then I have to ask myself the question, why wouldn't I pursue what it would take to get that deliverance? Right. So deliverance, a thought away so often. That's it.